negotiating. They've been negotiating really well with Western-made weapons, 7.62, and putting bullets in Russians. That's a pretty dang solid negotiation tactic, I think.
So, Matt, I just want to go back.
Wait a minute, Mario. You can play the macho game all you want, all right?
It's not a macho game. I'm just asking you for your stance, because earlier
my stance is an independent
observer. So is your stance that the Russians withdrew purposely?
That Russia
has is your stance, I'm trying to make it clear because you stated it earlier, is your stance that the reason Russia lost all that terrain east of the Dnipro because of negotiations that didn't go through and that they, out of their goodwill, decided to go back to that zero line?
The reason why Russia initiated its withdrawal from around Kiev is because of that agreement. And you know that, and I know that. Historians know that. We also know that the United States injected $48 billion worth of military assistance into a depleted Ukrainian military, retrained forces, re-equipped, brought in foreign advisors, and they carried out a surprise attack, an attack that exploited the fact that Russia in the Kharkov area are withdrawing more than 50% of their forces. We know that to be the case. Did you shoot Russians in the back? You being, I guess, not you personally, but the Ukrainians, sure. They achieved a military victory. They caused the Russians to withdraw from territories that they were going to withdraw from anyways in accordance with this agreement.
Okay, so thank you. So they caused them to withdraw from territories that they were going to withdraw from, meaning the Russians retreated. And it's perfectly legal to shoot somebody like that in the back that's illegally invaded your country, is it not? Are they not enemy combatants underneath the rules of and laws of our conflict?
Why are you contesting this? Why are you?
Because it seems like a mischaracterization by you, and I want to keep you honest.
You can use your standard. I'll use the standard given to you by the Marine Corps. But if somebody is no longer
by the Marine Corps or the Kremlin,
I think it just
where are you at right now, anyway, Scott?
Just quick, fuck you. I'll put my DD-15 up against yours any day of the week, Matt. All right.
Okay. So I'm gonna go back to my country.
I'll put it up against you any day of the week. Don't you ever say that again? Got it.
Mario, I'll put my arrest record up against yours any day of the week. Scott, guys, we'll avoid. Do I agree that?
Oh my God, that was probably, I don't know, one of my favorite friggin' debates that I've done of all time. And ladies and gentlemen, just like Jelani, as long as I put on a jacket and a collared shirt, all of a sudden I look like a very tolerable, very good human being. Guy was paid by Russia, you think? That's what you think? What did I just stumble into? Oh, dude, I gotta fix the camera anyway. So let me just go play this last part again. This was a debate that I hosted earlier, or I didn't host earlier, that Mario Knoffel hosted earlier between myself and Scott Ritter over on Mario Knoffel's channel over on X. It's his roundtable, right? And he ended up bringing in Scott Ritter for the debate with me. And boy, oh boy, was that a freaking blast. So what it was in context was he was trying to tell me that the Russians had basically fallen back because of their agreement, that they had pushed back basically from around Kiev and all the way back to the zero line, and that they're dominating Ukraine and they're doing all of these amazing things. And he stated it like twice. And so the second time I had to grab him. Oh, you guys want it? I'll give you the whole dang thing. One, you can find it over on my like X account because I retweeted it from Mario, the guy in the middle, right up here on the screen. You see it like X Mario Knoffel. You can go look him up that way. Or I'll just put it in the chat here in just a sec. But like I said, I gotta fix this camera because for some reason I jacked it up. So while I'm doing that, now that you have that in context, that's when I stopped him and I asked him. All right, because he starts talking about the United States injecting billions of dollars and all this other crap and blah 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 blah. And I'm like, dude, no.
States injected $48 billion worth of military assistance into a depleted Ukrainian military, retrained forces, re-equipped, brought in foreign advisors, and they carried out a surprise attack, an attack that exploited the fact that Russia in the Kharkov area are withdrawing more than 50% of their forces. We know that to be the case. Did you shoot Russians in the back? You being, I guess, not you personally, but the Ukraine, sure. They achieved a military victory. They caused the Russians to withdraw from territories that they were going to withdraw from anyways in accordance with this agreement.
Okay, so thank you. So they caused them to withdraw from territories that they were going to withdraw from, meaning the Russians retreated. And it's perfectly legal to shoot somebody like that in the back that's illegally invaded your country, is it not? Are they not enemy combatants underneath the rules of and laws of our conflict?
Why are you contesting this? Why are you?
Well, because it seems like a mischaracterization by you, and I want to keep you honest.
you can use your standard. I'll use the standard given to you by the Marine Corps. But if somebody is no longer
by the Marine Corps or the Kremlin,
I think it just
where are you at right now, anyway, Scott?
Just Moscow. Just
wait, no, we don't want to go there. Fuck you.
That never gets old, man. And Mario is doing such a good job, like trying to hold his composure as being like an honest, like good, solid, like moderator during this debate. But I'll just pause it right there. The smile on his face is priceless. Oh, dear God. Oh, I got to move that monitor back down. I totally forgot about it. Listen. This might explain a lot of things, all right? I was going over my 23andMe just a little bit ago. Yeah, no kidding. I definitely struck a nerve on that guy. And if you guys want the link to the full debate pinned up at the top of my profile, you guys are welcome to go get it. But this is not going to come as a surprise to you. For those that don't know, I ended up having my DNA checked a while ago. And it turns out, not only am I like 1.5% Egyptian and several other things, I want you guys to take a look at this. I'm just going to let you marinate on it for a second. It might make sense. Just think about this for one quick sec. That is my bloodline, ladies and gentlemen. 1% of me is from the Levant. Now imagine what I could do if 20, 40, or even 50% of me was from over there. Holy freaking crap. Now, probably the most embarrassing thing about that debate is the other portion of me is I am like, and the comments go wild, right? Now, probably the other crazy part about it is that I'm also like 60%, like it's split majority Polish, but also Ukrainian and Russian as well. So I'm just warning you guys, that's also in there. I'm just throwing it out there. All right, you guys, just letting you know. And then the other big news that ended up coming out, so the rest of you can calm down, is Cracker Barrel announced that because of all the outrage, they're going back to their original symbol. So now everybody can calm down on that one as well. Joseph Florentine says there's no such thing as a former Marine except for Scott. Oh, that's great. 1% and you're not throwing flip-flops. You're right. I have not thrown a single flip-flop, although I do have a keffiyeh. I actually have several that I could go through on. Man, mental health, whenever you get a chance, I'm going through it. Man, yeah, you know, Adrian, that's one of those things. And actually, I have, you know, I'll tell you what, Adrian, I'm going to take and I'm going to pin it in the chat because you're asking about it. I actually wrote an article a while ago, and you need to get your butt over there and go read it. If you are struggling with it, it has several good talking points, and I don't mind bringing it out. And it's something that I think everybody should pay attention to. So I'm going to go ahead and unpin that last one I shared. And I'm going to put this up there. This is a mental health article that I wrote a while ago, and I'll pin that up there so anybody that needs it can go over there and check on it. All right. But it does reference several different things that if you're going through some stuff, that in my opinion is all of the things that you actually need to do. And it doesn't matter who it is. It's around you. Like there's several things that are in there. I'm not going to dive deep into it because I don't want to open up that deep of a discussion right now, but do me a favor, man, just go over there and read that. All right. And let me know what you think about it. But read it. All right. I wrote that a long time ago and I wrote it for a reason. One of the first things I did. People are also losing their crap, just FYI, as we go into the other madness that's taking place inside the United States of America. People are also going mad over this. This right here. United States Army National Guard service members walking around and picking up trash. Believe it or not, people are actually blaming this on Trump. This video is like going wild on social media today because the National Guard is picking up trash. I'm going to say that again. This video is going wild because members of the National Guard are picking up trash. Now, I am going to burst a lot of bubbles with this statement that I'm going to make right here. Yes, Matt Army Vet says, police call! Area beautification. We did this so freaking often, there was an actual name for it, right? Like as you come up in ranks, you actually get told, hey, we got to do area beautification, which means get everybody outside and go pick up freaking trash, trim some freaking bushes if it's around, so on and so forth, and make all of that happen. Matt throwing Oh, I don't even know what, dude, I'm not Jewish enough for that. I'm only 1%, man, speaking English, bro. Like, people are pissed. They're legitimately blaming that on Trump. Well, I have news for you. If you're looking at joining the military, minus maybe the Air Force, there's a solid probability if you join as an enlisted person and if you're a good officer, you'll probably be out there with your people as a junior officer, like going along and doing that stuff. Matt, you should read Mein Kampf, fantastic book and author. Rusty, I don't think I'm going to read that book. Actually, a surprise. It's not bedtime reading, but I actually think anybody should read it. Like, truthfully, I think you should go in and I think you should read it. And I don't think you should read it because I want you in your brain to get warped and I'm promoting all of that ideology, right? That's not why. But I think you should go read it to actually kind of get an idea for what the hell was going on and what people were thinking back then, right? I think you should, because that book, along with one man and his freaking, you know, mouth running for a long time, convinced a lot of people to do a lot of bad things, and he launched a world war over it. So, you know, as we look at it and we say it's a joke, no, for historical value, not for accuracy, but for what was going on at the time. Yeah. By all means, go over, read that book. All right. Where's the Epstein files? Oh, dude, I don't even want to get into the Epstein files right now, to be perfectly honest with you. You know what I do want to get into, though? I want to get into this. I want to get into Russia on fire, mainly over inside of Rostov. It's burning again. Burning again. And in case you guys missed my big, long update this morning, I'll give you guys a brief snapshot here at the end of the podcast. Russia is definitely on fire. Ukrainian drones have struck Russia deep. There is rumors trying to say that the Flamingo missile was used in order to hit this sucker. Oh my goodness, Sky God, calm down over there with your 20 Speak the Truth memberships. You calm it down. Mongo, they are joking and having fun. Look at the smiles. Plus, checking, collecting a nice paycheck. Yeah, I mean, active duty pay for walking around picking up trash. Promise you, you're probably not going to be making that as a janitor unless you're clearing out like the CIA building, right? But yeah, Rostov on fire. I think that pretty much settles that. In case anybody's confused, yes, Ukrainian drones ended up going and hitting it. They're saying that the Flamingo missiles might have been responsible for some of that destruction. But I did see a couple videos that did show actual, like, Ukrainian drones. I haven't seen a sign of Flamingos yet actually going in there and causing that damage. Just simply drones going over and targeting that. And another interesting little thing that ended up occurring that I was like, holy crap, what the hell is going on? I went over and I talked this morning about everything that was going on over inside of Lebanon. Really, really interesting inside of Lebanon. As a matter of fact, I should probably open up our good old friend, ladies and gentlemen. I know it's been a while since I just said, you know what, I got to open up my old friend, but I really do need to open up my old friend. And the old friend, for those of you that don't know, is Google Maps, because Google Maps is going to take us in. We're going to go talk about Syria and we're going to talk about Lebanon for a minute because I went really heavy on Ukraine this morning. So I'm trying to balance some of this stuff out because both of them are kind of doing some crazy things right now. Right. And by the way, something that I also heard out of Mario today was that when he's been talking to analysts, if I remember this correctly, they're telling him that there's still a 50% chance that Iran is going to end up attacking Israel in the upcoming future. And I do believe, all right, because we heard Trump come out today and Trump ended up stating that within just a couple weeks, the war in Gaza is going to come to a definitive close. That's what he thinks. I strongly disagree. I think the majority of your combat might be over within a couple weeks. Maybe. Right. If you're lucky, majority might be over in a couple of weeks. And then you're going to enter into that little phase. All right. When you're going to have pockets of violence. I'm going to talk to you guys about the difference between, like, I don't know, terrorism, government, national terrorism, insurgencies, things like that here in just a minute. All right. I'm actually going over something John Spencer wrote because I think it's very important. That kind of defines these things. And not only Hamas inside of Gaza kind of walks this line, but so does Hezbollah, right? Hezbollah's got members over inside of the Lebanese government, and they've been cleaning everybody out. And over inside of Lebanon since November of last year is when they ended up having that ceasefire. Sorry. Now, over inside of Tyre, they ended up having bunch of weapons that ended up getting turned in. So if you guys will remember back when I was talking about Israel going to Lebanon and all that crap that was going down over there, Tyr was one of those like locations where you ended up having a decent amount of fighting. And we're predicting, you know, Israel was running up the coastline and all this stuff. Ultimately, they ended up kind of quasi making it that far, but not really. They ended up kind of like taking all of this down here. Eventually ended up pushing their way up, if I can find it on the map, to the Litani River. And that's where Hezbollah is supposed to be north of. Right? They're supposed to be north of Litani, like right up about here. And problem is that after that November ceasefire ended up kicking into place, Matt keeps me sane on my travels. Well, D, thank God I get to keep you sane. So after that ceasefire agreement in November of last year, which was supposed to like basically echo UN Resolution 1701, Hezbollah was supposed to push north of Litani, but they didn't. We saw UNIFIL go in there. I was complaining about it for a while. You had Hezbollah hanging up freaking flags on the UN vehicles. During my research and stuff like that I ended up conducting, ended up finding out that about 80% of the territory that Hezbollah had occupied down in the south, inside of Lebanon, had actually kind of been turned over, if you will, over to the Lebanese armed forces. Great. So it seems like they're moving in that direction. But the problem is that there's still another 20% of the territory down there that they haven't turned back over. Because of that, and because of Hezbollah's unwillingness to withdraw, all right, you end up having along the blue line, okay, right down over here, you end up having five Israeli outposts that are set up on hilltops. They're not like digging in and freaking taking the fight to Hezbollah or anything, but they've been basically occupying these hilltops for a very long time. Uncle Buzz, thank you very much. Thank you very much. So they're down there occupying these hilltops. And the debate right now, because the United States government has pledged like millions upon millions, it might have even been billions of freaking dollars, I forget, in order to rebuild southern Lebanon following the fight. And so today we ended up having the U.S.-Turkish ambassador, U.S. ambassador to Turkey. There we go. U.S. ambassador to Turkey ended up flying into Lebanon and speaking with people and trying to get everything to come back around. I hope your ribs are healing well, Matt. No, Levin, they are not. Actually, they hurt as we speak. I'm still sore, man, as we're having this. Anyways, idea is that money is going to get injected into southern Lebanon in order to start rebuilding, but Hezbollah needs to pick up and they need to start pulling back. That's a huge freaking blow to Iran, right? When we start talking about Iran and their influence over the Middle East, obviously, you know, Iran is projecting themselves via all of their proxy forces, and that's just kind of one of those undeniable facts. It just is. Even during that debate with Mr. Ritter today, he actually came around and agreed. Well, one, it was hilarious because he did come out and said that basically he agrees with Iran on this situation. Iranian proxy forces, even he agrees. It's undeniable that Iran's proxy forces are, you know, how Iran chooses to project itself. They obviously lost their foothold over inside of Syria, right? Now they're losing their foothold inside of Lebanon. And so really their last major hold that they have is what's taking place down inside Yemen. Israel today or yesterday, regardless, came out and announced that they're going to be beating the hell out of Ansarullah or the Houthis from now on. They're going to be going after him. Joseph, thank you very much for the beer fund, man. I really appreciate it. I do need a beer fund. I've been staying away from beer because it makes you fat. Just making healthy choices in life, right? But yeah, maybe I do need a beer to cool my ribs off. I don't know. anyways, so they're looking at doing that. Now, the interesting part is how is this going to come to an end? And it caused me to think a little bit, and I had been thinking about this for a while, is how is this going to actually happen, right? Because Israel has to either A, deal with Hezbollah, or B, accept that the international community is actually going to be helping them out over inside of southern Lebanon, right? And clearing out Hezbollah. So they actually have a chance. Hear me out. This is what's wild about this. Right now, what's on the table is an actual chance for a diplomatic solution to disarm the largest non-state terror organization in the world. It's a pretty wild statement when you actually think about it. And they've already gone so far as to allegedly, all right, giving up about 80% of the terrain. Matt, have you gone and checked your self-check to make sure all is okay from the fall? No, I have not. But I will survive. I promise you guys. I'm going to get by. All right. But the fact that they're over there and they're giving up that terrain means that there's going to be some sort of diplomatic solution. All right. We've already got the U.S. pumping a bunch of money down in there, and we've already got, the government getting involved. We've got a special envoy and all this other crap. Now, here's what gets kind of crazy. What's taking place over inside of Syria is also a problem because you have HTS, all right? And now they're calling them, I think it's like the Syrian army, all right, is what they're actually throwing these out. But it's HTS, it's the same freaking dudes, haven't done anything. Israel ended up conducting an airstrike out over of Damascus. And what they ended up, what this Syrian government, okay, so Jalani's regime ended up claiming was that the Israelis ended up killing six of the service members that, you know, belong to Jelani. Now, at the same time, over inside of, you know, Lebanon today, Israel was also kind of like pushing and asking in order to get, check this out, pushing to get a freaking humanitarian aid route established about 40 clicks long or about 40 kilometers, all right, to get their butts down over into southern Lebanon, into Al-Suwaida. All right, down over there in the south where the Druze have been fighting and holding out. So if this actually goes through, that would be a good thing. I look at this through like multiple viewpoints and I go, all right, I don't believe everything I'm told despite my 1%, you know, ties to the Levant. All right, I'm also more Egyptian than I am, you know, from the Levant. So I'm just throwing that out there. So now I'm going to access my Egyptian African-American side real quick. Okay. If I was Israel and I've got to deal with HTS and I've got to deal with Jelani and I've got to deal with all of that stuff, and I'm looking and I'm forecasting about how all this is going to play out, I really don't need to be fighting all of these multiple different fronts and these multiple different wars. So what this humanitarian aid corridor, essentially, in my opinion, all right, in between, you know, somewhere along like the Golan Heights pushing down into Suwaida, right, what that's going to end up doing for them is also to help establish a little bit more of a buffer zone and get that down. And if they do that and they have that, that's going to, I guess, give them a little bit more reassurance against Jelani, which they're not big fans of. You know, this is now like the third airstrike. I think the third airstrike I've seen over on that hilltop that's quasi near like that presidential palace, right? And that is a wake-up call to Jelani. Every single time they do it, it's them knocking on the door and telling him to pay attention to what they've got going on. It has been rumored now for the last couple of weeks that Jelani's men are going to be riding down and slaughtering more of the Druze. Israel is deathly scared of it, and the Druze are worried about it as well. And this is one of Israel's top priorities outside of Gaza. Obviously, the West Bank, another top priority. Obviously, the Houthis down in Yemen, another top priority. Obviously, Iran and dealing with that, another top priority. And while we're discussing that, all right, now we got to bring up and we got to say, okay, well, what the hell is Iran going to do? And last week, when I was showing you guys pictures of the riots and the videos of the riots that were taking place over inside of Iran, allegedly because of the water crisis and everything else that was going on, what we ended up seeing in those videos was people screaming that they are not going to die for the Palestinians. Matt's too much of a sigh to see a doctor. They scare him. Yes, doctors don't scare me, but I look, you know what's going to happen when I go see it? Look, all right. Here's what's going to happen if I go see a doctor for some broken ribs. They're going to go, congratulations, Matt, you broke your ribs. And I'm going to go, great. Thanks, doc. Appreciate it. And they're going to be like, yeah, we could put like, we could wrap your ribs with some like, you know, tape. It'll make them feel a little bit better. We could throw some opioids at you, try to like take the pain away. Or I could just sack up and be a man and realize that there's really nothing they can do. I don't need to charge the insurance company, you know, thousands of dollars just to go hear from a doctor that I busted my freaking ribs. All right. Like, I'm just throwing that out there. All right. So enough of the rib conversation. I'm fine. I'm not going to the doctor. Wrap and here's a bill. Exactly, man. Like, I don't need it. All right. Now let's go take it. Like, don't get me wrong. There's a time and a place for a doctor. There's a time and a place for professionals. But in reality, I don't need somebody telling me that, yeah, you busted yourself pretty good. Don't do that. All right. I don't need to hear it. Gaza. And we go down into Gaza and we start talking about everything that's taking place down there. Well, Hamas is preparing for the IDF's entry going into Gaza. They're threatening the Gazans, basically telling them to hold up, set up roadblocks, don't leave, to sit there and wait for the IDF to come in because they want to essentially put civilians in the middle of it. And there has been numerous reports. I actually had Doran Kadar on here and he was talking about his experience on the ground when he ended up coming across a family over inside of Gaza where they were instructed by Hamas that they're not allowed to leave the area because the IDF is coming, and if they do try to leave, they're going to end up killing them anyways. And so undoubtedly you have a bunch of people that are stuck over inside of Gaza City right now. Showed you guys like different videos of tanks and things like that that were like stuck over in the area. What the hell? This is not what I was looking for. Holy freaking crap. Wow, is that out of order? Mother of God. But what I do have is a lovely video for you guys coming out of Gaza City.
Hey everyone, this is Bissan from Gaza. I am still alive. And my people are still alive. Look at this. Look at all of these youth enjoying their time here. This is the destroyed Gaza City. The tents on the beach. And here, people, look at that. So yes, I'm alive, my people is alive despite everything, and we're still urging you to move against the occupation of Gaza City, because the occupation of Gaza City means the killing of all of these people, their hopes, their land, their existence, and everything related to us. Again, hi. No.
This is a new video. This is not an old video. This is a new video. Brand new. This is her speaking out for the occupation and the siege on Gaza City. I don't know if you noticed or not, but let's go back and take a look at how many starving kids are so flipping hungry that they have all of this energy to be able to go over and do that. Mike Silva throwing out false narrative. Yeah, you're correct. All right, this is what's actually taking place today. When you guys are like, wow, it's a little bit slow on the war front. Matt's talking about all of these other things. You're absolutely correct. People are literally jumping out and swimming in the ocean. Oh, Lord, the humanity. I don't even think I showed the other day. You know what? Now I got to go find it. I didn't even show the other day one of the most ridiculous things that ended up coming out of Gaza. And maybe I should, you know, maybe I should just take this and freaking play it for you guys. Because when I saw it, I was like, what the hell? Like, this is not what it's supposed to be. This isn't what I heard. You know, people are supposed to be freaking like hurting over there. Man, was that an old video? No, it can't be that old. No way. No flipping way. It can't have been that old, is it? Is it that old? It is that old. I'll be damned. Hold on. Wait for it. Where'd it go? Nope. Man, maybe I didn't even put it on here. Oh, man. No way. Ah, oh, Lord. Dude, it's a lady that's doing... She's literally doing... it appears like she's doing an ad or something for freaking like this restaurant over in Gaza City. I mean, they're freaking everywhere, to be perfectly honest with you. But it's absolutely insane, the different crap that they have going on. Here's a newly opened restaurant. This one came out. Let's see here. Here's an ice cream shop, August 21st, right? Gaza City. What the hell just happened? What the hell? Am I the only one that saw that? Please tell me I'm the only... What the hell?
Searching for a trail to follow again. Take me back to the night we met. Then that I can't tell myself. What the hell?
Thank you. What the hell? They did not just put that out there. What the hell? Oh, I got it. What the hell? Like, nobody handed that to him, right? Like, that's him literally. He walked over and he, like, grabbed it. Served up the ice cream, put the ring in it, and then brought it to her, and he's all happy about it. She looks weirded out, like she knows it's coming. I don't know if you guys can see her face. What the hell, dude? Maybe it's like my Western ways. Like maybe I'm not 1.5% Egyptian after all. I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and move past that. Wow, dude. Here's them making pizza. I hope no 11-year-olds get engaged. Smokey says she was just picked. Dude, you know, I see stuff all the time. You know, I see stuff all of the time doing this job, like digging through the filth that is the internet to bring stuff to you guys. To know that things like this exist over inside of Gaza City, to know that people are swimming on the beach and that it's a you know, to tell you that there's 80% of people left, you know, that 80% of Hezbollah that's left Lebanon, to pull up a map over inside of Ukraine and tell you that, you know, this small little pocket, you know, over inside of Pokrovsk got taken, and that, you know, tracking troop movements and things like that. I've seen some really disturbing stuff doing that. I really have. I've seen some very disturbing stuff. The fact that that was just so casually, I mean, just... Like, do you hear the song that's playing? Like, do you guys hear that? Do we hear this song? Wait for it.
I've been searching for a trail to follow again. Take me back to the night we met.
Like, what the hell, dude? Yeah, we're moving on. I've read, you know, like, yeah, get the wood chipper. You know, I've read through like the court documents for Scott Ritter, and I actually think I posted them up over on my X account too the other day, as I was going through and doing my background research on the man that I was going to be debating. And 15 years old, man. The person that he got arrested for stalking online was 15 years old. That little girl. No, Michael, I think I should show that more often, to be perfectly honest with you. I really do. What part of any civilized society do an ice cream review on my trip? Maybe I will. But what makes people think that any civilized society that's going to be a thing? Like that you can take that and incorporate that into civilized society today. I don't know. Here's aid truck drivers in Gaza. They're pissed off because Hamas is ambushing them.
انت سواقين مشحون ان احنا سبب الحرب واحنا سبب المجاعه على قطاع غزه وسبب احنا حراميه واحنا بندعس الناس معنا فيديوهات انه الناس هي اللي بتسبب المشاكل اللي شفناها
فيش شيء مستقبل في غزه ازاي ما ضلش مستقبل ولا دار ولا نوم ولا شرب ولا ميه ولا اكل ايه المساعدات هذه نص يعني اللي بضرب من الشمس نص الحراميه بتبيعها تجار
بيرا انتوا دلوقتي تتعرضوا للمشاكل لما بتدخلوا؟
لما ندخل تتعرضوا لمشاكل كتير
لما نطلع كمان
وانتوا داخلين تدخلوا جوه غزه في مشاكل هنا؟
من الناس
من الناس؟ ايه نوع المشاكل؟
الناس بتحسسك انك انت سواقين مشحون ان احنا سبب الحرب واحنا سبب المجاعه على قطاع غزه وسبب احنا حراميه واحنا بندعس الناس، معنا فيديوهات انه الناس هي اللي بتسبب المشاكل اللي مشحون.
بيعملوا ايه؟
بيعمل بيركب فوق السياره على الشبك من قدام بغطي الف واحد بغطي بقزاز بخليش السواق يشوف ما يشوفش ولا حاجه.
عايز اسالكم انت شخصيا تعرضت لاي هجوم لما تدخل جوه؟
معرض اي شحن مبين انه في اطلاق نار هكذا بتقدر تصوره.
كان في طلق نار على الشحنة؟
في اطلاق نار في الشحن.
لكن انتوا لما بيدخلوا عليكم بيهجموا على العربية كلها
وما
بتشوفش حاجة.
بشوفش ولا حاجة.
احنا كمان مش على الحمل، ياخد الحمل في داهية. معاهم قرص، مفاتيح، بيخلعوا الجيب بتاعت الصناديق، البواب بتاعتنا، بكسروا بوابنا، بده يضرب السواق.
لكن رأيك غلط؟ طبعا في أسرى. عند حماس وفي اسرى على الناحيه الثانيه تفتكر يعملوا عمليه تبادل الاسرى
نقول ان شاء الله يسلموا هذول ويسلموا هذول
ويرجعوا الاسرى اليهود وهم يرجعوا الاسرى
خلص من كل هيك
انت فاكر انت بتعتقد ان اسرائيل عدو او الشعب اليهودي عدو ليكم
كويس معاملته معانا حرب غير حرب
شعب كدولة وشعب
دولة وشعب انا ماليش في جيش ولا في جيش انا تعاملت مع انسانية قعدت عندهم سنتين قبل الحرب بشتغل كانوا بدوني عن العمال تعين 48 معلمي اداني كل الثقة فيه
تمام
وصارت الحرب وانا جوا
مستقبل غزة انتوا في رأيكم مين يكون مسؤول عنه مين السلطة اللي تديره
اي حدا بس نخلص من هالهم نعرف نمشي واحنا مرتاحين.
Daily Wire ended up going in there and talking to those drivers. Now, I will point out, do you think they'll do a hostage exchange? We hope so. They'll exchange and call it a day. Yeah, we all know that's not going to happen. But take a look at this truck, right? And look at the amount of protection that goes on it. I was showing these things. Missiles from Yemen just got intercepted. By the way, those Ramallah raids are mostly on money exchanges funding terror. It's rare for the IDF to operate there. Yeah, I did see that, Danny. Lots of money. I think it was the tune of like 350K that they ended up pulling off that location. Somewhere around 350,000 US dollars is what they ended up taking out of Ramallah. Quite a bit of money. But I want you to take a look at these humanitarian aid trucks that they're driving in there. And I want you to take a look at how Mad Max these things are freaking like decked out with. David Solovey, someone literally once told me that Israel must give Hamas weapons to make it a fair fight in order for it not to be a genocide. Well, that's just stupidity. They have plenty of weapons. They proved that. They have more weapons than they need. They've conducted a lot of murder with them, right? Not just inside of Israel, but also over inside Gaza. That's how they ended up, you know, getting into power for the most part. You know, some people will sit there and they'll tell you that no, you know, that, you know, they were voted in, and then other people will say, no, they took it by angry rule, basically that the like mob rule, ended up coming in and imposing the rule on people. But either way, they don't need more. That's for damn sure. And this is something I ended up, talking to Mario about, you know, when you look at Gaza and kind of the way forward, because this assault's about to go down here in the next couple of days. And when you look at Gaza and the way forward for what's going to be happening in there, people are going to be a little bit shocked, and it might kind of tick them off, right? We've got, what's his name? Abu Shabab down inside of southern Gaza that is working not with the IDF, but kind of with the IDF. I hear that they're clearing routes. I've seen videos of them going after, and I've even showed the videos of Abu Hamas going after, Hamas inside of Gaza itself. After that, what's going to end up happening is you're going to have more people, all right? So after they're done clearing out Gaza, they're going to end up having more people that are going to end up joining in those different little paramilitary forces over there. You're going to see the IDF arm them, and you're going to see them working side by side with the IDF. And I'm not going to be surprised when the IDF starts dealing with the same crap that we did in Iraq and Afghanistan, where we have our partner forces shooting us in the back. It's just inevitable. Michael Graybeck, Matt, how's that strap down? It's not going to stay on the truck. Well, here's the other thing that I wanted to point out, right? The OCHA video that I brought up, thank you for bringing that up. The OCHA video that I brought up last week or the week before, where they were complaining and saying that they didn't have enough time to tie it down. I said, no, the UN report specifically states that they have like, you know, up to 46 hours sometimes that they end up getting held up at the Kerem Shalom crossing after the trucks are loaded. So they have 46 hours to do all that crap, and they choose not to do it. Now, I want you to think about this. 93.5% of their trucks are looted. 93.5% of the trucks that are driven by those guys are looted. 93.5% going into Gaza, looted, right? With those trucks being looted, those drivers, as they just described, are under immense danger of Hamas coming over, killing them, taking the trucks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Their best bet for survival, if you really think about it, is getting those people off the trucks as quick as possible. Their job on a daily basis, 94% of the time, is to drive these trucks as far as they can until people rip stuff off. And Joe's saying lazy drivers, I disagree. I bet that these drivers are actually of the mind frame. Look at how Mad Max that truck is at, right? I bet those drivers that are actually of the mind frame that if I don't strap stuff down, the quicker people can get stuff off of it and the quicker I can get the hell out of Dodge before Hamas comes over and steals it, or I get ripped out of the truck, burned, killed, whatever, right? Like, they don't want to be there. And so why would they strap down the aid in that case when 94% of your stuff's getting taken? You're strapping it down for what, 6% of the time, right? 6% of the time, hoping you make it to the final destination. It's just stupid to me, right? To even, I'm not going to lie to you. I probably wouldn't strap stuff down either. So I don't really blame them for that. Like, I personally would tell them to kind of like kiss off. Now, IDF did end up conducting its investigation in a hospital strike. I ended up making a post, I think it was this morning, or maybe it was like, yeah, this morning. I ended up like putting it together. And I'm going to go over that here in just a sec. But the hospital strike with the tank round and stuff like that I went over, very valid reason for why that took place. These six Hamas terrorists were killed during that strike. Six of them ended up getting taken out. Originally, it was just supposed to be two of them. But now we've got it confirmed through the Israelis that six of them ended up getting taken out. And I did end up hearing that there is a high probability that a sniper was actually there. I hypothesized on it in a post I ended up putting up this morning. This is one of the things that I ended up showing it. This is following the first round strike in the building, and then you're going to end up having the second round coming in just a second. And you'll notice, right, that you have the camera system that's sitting up there, and you can kind of see where you know, some of the staircases knocked down. I think it was, they said Reuters was live streaming from that location as this was going on. Can't watch the guy, but did for Matt. Well, thanks, Pick. I think I did a pretty dang good job on that. On that thing, right? So here you have like the camera system with an open window. And the deal is in my opinion, that is like prime sniper position for them to be tracking and doing this stuff. When we take a look at what was actually going on there, all right? And believe me, I'm about to zoom in on this and why it's a freaking problem. So maybe this one will allow me to do it the way I wanted to do it. Let me see here. Nope, that's not, why are you not working for me today? You always got to be that way. First thing to notice is that the snipers ended up, you know, often you end up having these things caught on camera. And I don't even know how many sniper attack or ambush videos or anything like that that I've ended up showing on this podcast. Quite a bit. FU, let's compare DD214s. Yeah, that was like the best, right? Like that was freaking hilarious. And I was like, I'll compare arrest records. All right. But you end up having this hole over here through this concrete, right, where they're at it. Now, there's a slight mirage that's blowing through there. But the important thing that I put this particular screenshot up for on this particular thread is that you can actually see the dust kicked up over here behind these Israelis. Right. And that shot did pass through one of these soldiers. I'm going to leave it at that. This is the moment that that shot ends up striking the ground over and behind him. You can see that that shot is offset to your right. Now, the reason that shot is offset to your right is because the cameraman is offset to the right of the rifleman that's actually pulling the trigger. Okay. So that's thing number one that I want to be able to point out to you guys. Second thing that I want to point out to you guys, all right, is this. You also in this position end up having an offset. Here you have that open window that's set up, and then you end up having that camera system that's also set up. And notice these two wooden poles that are right here. Check this out. Here you have your two wooden poles with that camera system that's set up with like this white cloth that's overhead. And I ended up pulling this sucker out this morning. Oh man, I put it back. It doesn't matter. It's got this like little anti-reflection or anti-glare thing that ends up going over top of it. And it's like this little square deal. And I've got one in here, you know, for use to keep like glare down. But there's several other uses for these dang things. But ultimately, look, it's kind of like a shield for the camera, right? To like keep it there. And they ended up putting a white towel over the top of it. Now, I want you to take a look. You have the white towel, but you also have this white background right here, and you also have this white ledge. So as that camera is looking out over top of the white ledge, it's almost kind of like blended in, right? To where it kind of appears to be hidden. You also don't have this guy actively really tracking anything. He's just got the camera set up and it's out there shooting in HD. And so what you can do with this, and I do crap like this all the time, is when I'm not quite sure what I'm going to need, I'll take the camera, like this one, for example. Right, that's set up here. It's set 4K at a very wide angle so that you guys can see me. I can then take it and I can go here, but I've also got the ability, if I really want, you know, to be able to take this camera and adjust angles with it, right? Like I can take it and I can slide it to the side and so on and so forth while I have it cropped so you guys can't really see that much, but I can take it and I can move around and I can zoom in on certain things and I can check it out depending on like where the focus, like focal plane's like currently set at, right? And so when we look at this and you take a look at that, the camera's likely zoomed in on the area that the IDF is operating at. And then with that being said, where that's set up, as it's sitting there rolling, the guy's just got to flick his little on switch and you have that. That first round ended up targeting directly into that spot. Okay, cool. So we know that. What else do we know? Well, we know that it wasn't just these two, but it was actually six of those freaking terrorists that ended up getting taken out. All right. And then we can assess when we go down and look at it where that second round ended up blasting, which is right up over here. And so then we go, okay, well, was this legal under the laws of armed conflict when it comes to proportionality, et cetera? Yeah, it would have been, right? It absolutely would have been. Smokey Sergeant says, the toughest part of intel is watching things unfold right in front while others refuse to look at it and acknowledge it, all the while maintaining a cool head. It's a valid statement, man. It's a very valid statement. I think you're accurate when you end up stating that. It is. It's really hard. And what's even harder is taking information like this. I could tell you guys the amount of death threats I get for posting stuff like this out there and saying, look, here's the facts as we know. You have six Hamas terrorists that ended up getting schwacked during this thing. You have an open window and you have a TTP that's used by Hamas in order to do this crap. If the IDF was operating in the area, which we know they were, there's a very high probability that that's what ended up going down. IDF ended up releasing a statement on this earlier today. right? That the chief of the general staff added that six of the individuals killed were terrorists, one of whom took part in the infiltration into Israel's territory on October 7th. They ordered the investigation on it to continue the authorization process prior to the strike, including the ammunition approved for the strike and the timing of the authorization and the decision to process decision-making process in the field. So the IDF is actually taking this incident very, very seriously, and they're actually looking at, I'm serious, CJ. I'm very, very serious. People are absolutely, but you don't think I'm, look, people are freaking pissed at me for putting that information out there. Like, I kid you not, like, they are not happy about it. This post that I ended up putting up has, like, this morning, it's got 840,000 views over on X. And you just roll through, let's just scroll down to the comment section. This is like how freaking pissed off people are. All right. Remember the word proportional when Iran finally stops Israel in its bloody attacks. Here we go. They should include you in their legal team at both the ICJ and the ICC just to make sure that they all get locked up. And with a bit of luck, you'll join them in their cell. Right. And then Tardio, that's my favorite one that people end up putting out there. But yeah, people are freaking pissed every single time I put it out there. Your boss said it's a mishap. Dude, whatever, fatty. All right, not even remotely close. It's people just get freaking pissed off. They go out there. I got multiple death threats if I actually open them up, like you guys can see them. It's freaking hilarious, the stuff that people end up like sending me. Again, I get this crap on a daily basis. Here's one that I ended up getting after putting this out there. F you, scumbag, may rot in hell, for justifying these war crimes. You need to cease to amaze in your evil ways. The only positive in the world is waking up to your BS, and your time is coming. I get stuff like that literally on a daily basis, because I take information, I process it, and I put it out there. That's it. And I do it based on all my experience, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Tardio called you fat. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I call a lot of people fat. I got a thing for that type of stuff. But yeah, I mean, people just, they don't like you when you end up putting the truth out there. And it just kind of is what it is. So IDF statement. Initial inquiry regarding the strike on the observation camera at the Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis, which occurred yesterday, August 25th, 2025, was presented to the Chief of General Staff. From an initial inquiry, it appears that the Golani Brigade troops operating in the area of Khan Yunis to dismantle terrorist infrastructure identified a camera that was positioned by Hamas in the area of the Nasser Hospital that was being used to observe the activities of the IDF troops in order to direct terrorist activities against them. Okay, so there you go. It was monitoring the troops in order to direct terrorist activities against them. That also could include sniper fire. This conclusion was further supported, among other reasons, by the documented military use of hospitals by the terrorist organizations throughout the war and by intelligence confirming Hamas used the Nasser Hospital to carry out the terrorist attacks. In light of this, the troops operated to remove the threat by striking and dismantling the camera, and the inquiry showed that the troops operated to remove the threat. That, whether people like it or not, is a very real threat. Ask U.S. troops about people with radios and cell phones over inside of Iraq and then being used as spotters. The chief of the general staff received the initial conclusions that were presented and instructed to the inquiry to be completed. At the outset, the chief of the general staff emphasized that the enemy conducts extensive and covert visual intelligence gathering while cynically exploiting sensitive sites and civilian infrastructure, such as the Nasser Hospital, at which it carries out the terrorist activities of Gaza inside. Look. One of the hostages that was released by Hamas came out and openly stated that she was being held at the Nasser Hospital along with like a dozen other hostages, and they were being separated into a couple different rooms. They had multiple hostages in like these different rooms, but that they were all being held at the Nasser Hospital. This also happens to be the location where I showed you guys last year. Is it last year? Yeah, where they had the mass graves outside of it. And those mass graves of the hospital staff burying people were then later used 6 months later after Israel ended up going into Khan Yunis trying to claim that Israel was like murdering and mass graving and killing all of these people. It's just simply not the case, right? It was the hospital that was burying these people, and we geolocated the footage and showed you guys where all that crap came out of. But again, I'm a genocidal maniac and I probably deserve to die, right? Chief of the General Staff added that six of the individuals killed were terrorists, one of whom took part in the infiltration in the Israeli territory on October 7th. At the same time, he regrets any harm caused to civilians. Now, here's the thing. right? And it's kind of important, I think, for people to understand when we go and we take a look at this situation itself, is anybody that was in that vicinity likely knew what the hell was going on. Anybody in that vicinity likely knew what was going on. I would be surprised if rounds hadn't been fired from that general vicinity over towards the IDF. I would be shocked if it hadn't gone down yet. Like, if it did, good on whoever the hell it was that spotted that thing. Danny says, getting permission to fire at a hospital that has to go high up the chain of command versus other targets where a tank commander has the discretion. Correct. And that would be true in any military, for the most, like any civilized military that's trying their best to abide by the laws of armed conflict. You're not just shooting at a freaking hospital, right? Like, regardless of how you feel about it, dude, even when we caught like the Taliban using freaking mosques or Haqqanis or freaking, you know, ISIS using these damn things, we still wouldn't enter those suckers, right? We'd send in our partner forces, or like, I mean, sometimes you go in, but it's situation dependent. Like, it's very hard. But when it goes down to firing a tank round into it and dropping the sucker, dude, that is a totally, totally different situation. So for anybody to try to come out and claim that this was like not verified in numerous different ways. Now, is it possible that the tank crew and the gunner just went off and did this on their own? Sure, it is. Is it probable? No, it's not. You have experienced, seasoned soldiers that are actually in charge of those freaking tanks. Danny, what rank do you guys have for tank commanders? I know you guys have one. Like, minimum rank for a tank commander in the United States military, we have like a gunner, a driver, and a tank commander, for example. And that tank commander basically approves all of that crap that's going on. And before they would conduct something like this, this is definitely something that gets passed up the chain that they're able to like talk about, right? So this within itself is a very significant event, just even considering squeezing one of these rounds off for this very reason. So don't let anybody try to fool you. That's exactly where it's at. Mazes, you're probably right. I probably do. Danny says staff sergeant. Perfect. It's about what we got over here in the United States Army. It's very rare that you end up having like an E5 over in charge of these dang things, right? You have an experienced, seasoned soldier that's in charge of it. And so before that round gets fired, that gets sent up, that gets approved. And before it gets sent up over to, like, especially on a hospital, it's going up to somebody much higher ranking. So yes, I do believe that a lot of that information was verified, just knowing those very basic and simple facts. Whew, can't wait for Gaza to freaking like end, man. I can't wait for that sucker to just get overran. Yeah. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, you really need to do that. You really need to jump in. You need to subscribe to the channel. Be a true supporter. Share this live session, share all of the live sessions, go over to the X post that I have pinned up over the top, right? Go take a look at that freaking interview where I just crushed freaking Scott Ritter. And in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, before I end up playing that video as my goodbye message, I love you guys. I really do. And I appreciate every opportunity that you have. I just sent off my information and stuff for my trip over to Israel. I am going over to Israel mid-September. I'm going to keep those dates kind of like tied in about when I'm going to be over there and what I'm doing for like obvious reasons. You guys are going to get updates while I'm over there. So that's going to happen. I did get word that likely we're going to get access to go up over into Gaza and not just over. Like, yes, I'm going to be able to go and I'm going to be able to see the, you know, humanitarian aid distribution site down over, you know, that everybody's standing around over inside of, over inside of like Kerem Shalom. So I'll be able to take videos, pictures, whatever, and identify and verify that stuff for you guys. Also going to get like some good high level briefings and be able to have the opportunity to ask like some good questions. And so what I want you guys to do is I want you guys to think about it. I want you to start DMing me questions for some of these high level officials that might be over there that are good, valid questions. Do a little bit for me. All right. Other than that, I got some other big stuff that's going to be coming up a little bit later on in the year. I'll tell you guys about that when the time comes. All right. The interview is only membership. No, CJ, the interview is not membership. The interview is pinned up at the top. Oh, nope. I took it down. I ended up sharing it earlier. I put the mental health thing up there over on my profile so you guys can go find that one. If you want the interview, you can come over here to watch it. Give me just one second. There you go. Here's the interview. I'll share it for you, CJ. If you want to see the full interview of Scott Ritter, there it is right there. I'll go ahead and pin that up to the top of the chat real quick. so that you guys have that. So the interview with Scott Ritter that I just did is now pinned up at the top of the chat for you guys that are over there. Go over there, give it a follow, like follow me, watch the dang video. It's freaking cool. A lot of information ended up coming out during that video. I thought it was like a really good debate. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, peace, love, happiness, and God bless. I really mean that, man. Like, really take care of yourselves. You know, really, really, really do that. Really, really take care of yourselves. And remember, there's starvation in Gaza, and people are dying.